This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 341, recorded Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Because I tried to make it more jaunty.
No, but cool.
Did you have a nice week?
It passes so quickly.
I know. I have to get my taxes.
Oh my God, I know.
Well, I have a guy, but he sort of needs me to gather all the papers that are partially in an envelope sitting in front of my computer. Last year, I tried to use TurboTax, and I compared it to what the guy did.
Yep.
Guy's still better than TurboTax.
Cool.
And TurboTax kept trying to charge me for stuff. So if I'm going to pay... Yeah, but I'm saying once you figure out what TurboTax kept trying to charge me, and the fact that the guy gave me a lower number than TurboTax estimated in terms of how much I owed the government, right now I'm keeping Guy.
I understand.
Also, he claims my taxes are not that complicated. Apparently, I don't have any money, which I knew, but it's nice when a certified accountant tells you that. He's the one who told me that Android Buffet should not be a business unless we make more than $10,000.
Makes sense.
By the way, right now we make bupkis.
That's not true. We make a great podcast.
No, I'm saying monetarily, so I don't have to worry. And since I'm saying I don't have to worry about becoming an Android Buffet thousandaire.
That's funny, thousandaire.
So all I know is I must be doing this for my love of the show, because I'm not doing it for money.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
My accountant affirmed that I must like the show. But as I was telling you before we started, there was a massive blizzard in the Northeast, which inconvenienced me as I don't like to, nor am I at the moment capable of shoveling snow. Actually, that's inaccurate. I'm capable of shoveling 1 to 2 inches of snow. Once it gets above 6, I can't really handle it.
Wow.
You're lucky you're not here. You would not have enjoyed it. You would not have enjoyed it.
Not at all. Not one bit.
But, whenever there's a crisis, blizzard tends to be. Things get hectic. So, blizzard's over, but bad weather is projected to continue for the rest of the week and more snow on the weekend. Yay. So, hopefully, this is a little late in the season for this. But hopefully it'll be done soon. But if I'm snowed in, I can work on my taxes.
Cool.
Works out somewhere. Anyway, so let's talk about some things that happened. Since last week, we tried to talk about things that didn't happen.
Yes.
And let's see. Malware was found pre-installed on 38 Android phones used by two companies.
So we're talking Galaxies and Asus.
Did you read down?
And maybe the Nexus 5 and 5X.
Well, you have several. There was a Lenovo reference, a Xiaomi, and Oppo.
Yep, and apparently this did not come from the manufacturer's stock ROM. These this malicious software, they got onto the phone later on in the supply chain.
Yeah, and an earlier version of the blog post that disclosed this said that the Nexus 5 and 5X were on there, but they were removed.
We don't know why.
Yeah, but it's always a concern, and this is not an unprecedented thing where somewhere in the supply chain something's got it on something. Wasn't there a thing a few years ago where there was an infection at a plant, and it infected the software that loaded the firmware onto items? So every time it loaded firmware, it loaded whatever infection it was?
Sure, makes sense. It's a good place to put stuff. If you want infected software, a good place to start is infect the compiler.
Well, it's always interesting when you discover, how many ways there are to exploit things.
It's kind of scary.
Well, everything, whenever you start to realize how much access malicious actors can get to things and how much information there is out there. Just earlier today, we had some new employees, and they were signing up for payroll, which is provided by a third party. And to verify, the third party asked them some identity questions. And everybody in the room who was on these computers, we loaned them to do this, saying, how do they know that? How do they know who my brother-in-law is?
Because Experian?
Yeah, which is what I was explaining to them, but... When you actually see it, it's a little scary sometimes to realize how much organizations know about you.
It's probably frightening, the type of picture that Google could paint about me.
Do I want to know what you've been searching for on the internet?
Well, not just searching, but I mean, everything I do goes through Chrome. I'm just saying. Everywhere I go, I carry a Google phone.
I hate to link that to malware, but it's sort of this thing where you don't realize how many different people have access to all sorts of resources. You think that the company supply chain is secure. and there are obviously ways to infect it. You think that your life is secure. There are obviously ways to infect that. I'm scared, Jerry. Are you scared?
Well, I think we should also take this particular story in perspective. How many Android devices say there are? Have we passed a billion yet?
I thought we might have. I'm trying to remember. We got a statistic on it
a while ago.
Yeah.
And how many phones was this? Would this affect maybe 10, 20 million, which is still a big number, granted, but it's a very tiny percentage of a billion.
Well, as I said, it's just surprising that this stuff gets out of control like this.
Yes.
Anyway, we have an alternative way of exploitation, which is why it's on my mind. Detecting and eliminated. How do you pronounce that? I'm too tired to.
I call it chamois.
We'll use your pronunciation. Now, if you look at this article, which is from the Android Developers blog, it's about eliminating a fraud botnet on Android. They even have a cute little mugshot. So basically, this is a potentially harmful application that generates invalid traffic through ad pop-ups having deceptive graphics inside the ad, performing artificial app promotion by installing apps in the background, performing telephony fraud by sending premium text messages, and downloading and executing additional plugins.
Yeah, it's scary.
Well, they're saying they've identified this brand. Now, the thing is, a good bit of advice is to try not to install apps that seem sketchy. Now, Google will try to protect you, but trying to avoid things that are otherwise dangerous.
Right. So the basic idea is get your apps from the Play Store or from Amazon. Don't get them from APK Mirror or other piracy.
Unverified sources.
APK Mirror or unverified sources.
But you also have the other one. Even in the Play Store, things can get in before they detect them.
Yes, they can.
So try to look for reputable apps. You know, don't accidentally install the fake knockoff of Chrome. You know, Brome. Or if you see an app that says, I'm trying to think of a sketchy name for an app.
Free nude wallpapers?
Okay, I'll go with that. That seems sketchy to me. Only get your nude wallpapers from reputable sources.
Install the official Playboy.
I don't know. I prefer nude wallpaper without any nudes in it. So all my nudes are nudeless.
Already.
Actually, I'm going to go look because I have one of those rotating things. So today my wallpaper is ocean. Landscapes are not. Anyway, Google's new My Android site, speaking of wallpaper, helps you customize your home screen.
How did I not even know about this? That's so cool.
Just came out. So basically, okay. Then you can avoid your nude or nudeless wallpaper.
So at www.android.com/myandroid, there's a home screen for...
But there are other ways to customize also, if not that, but it's an interesting idea.
I think it's there are so many options when it comes to your home screen that having a kind of walkthrough of the possibilities we can do is kind of nice. The differences between different phones, that's cool.
It's like the Kia Home Center.
Kia Home.
You know, when you go in and they design, you know, like they have that at other stores where you go in and they like map your room in a drafting program and then they start putting stuff into it.
Cool.
You've never seen those places?
Nope. But you know what I did see?
What?
Just yesterday. I saw that they are starting to build the outer frame of the IKEA that's into Jackson.
Oh, you like IKEA. You get to speak in Swedish, and even though it makes absolutely no sense.
Why would I want to speak in Swedish?
I don't know, but whenever I tell people my longstanding IKEA story, they start laughing. It starts many years ago when I had some bookcases that had suffered water damage and had to replace. So I decided to buy my bookcases at IKEA. And I decided, because it had been around for 30 years, I was going to buy some Billy bookcases. Billy being their bookcase brand. Not their only one, but the one that I decided to buy.
Okay.
So I decided to buy some Beach Billies. That would be Billy bookcases in Beach.
And Beach a color?
Beach is like a wood color.
Okay.
So I was very happy. I had other choices. You know.
Is that a very pale color?
No. They have a paler wood. They also have solids. For example, they have red, blue, white, black. But I wanted to get a wood grain because I thought it would look nice. At the time, I had laminate floor. But after 3 floods in here, I gave up on laminate. But that's a whole other story.
We've done the same thing. We put tile in all of our houses.
Probably because of flooding.
It's easier to keep clean. It wears better. It's not as susceptible to water.
Yeah, well, I like laminate, but I was tired of fixing it. So I gave up. And you probably remember because we were doing the show when I put the tile down.
I believe so. Yep. You were having trouble, and where were you going to move things so that you could still keep things assembled, but you still had to replace the floor? Yep, I remember that.
But also, there was a large echo when I was recording in a room that had no furniture, because I kept moving the equipment in on a rolling desk, and then I moved it out. Ah, the good old days. Anyway, stories about that aside, what happened was I wanted the Beach Billies because you could buy replacement shelves, so if the books caused the shelf to sag, you could also buy more Billies, you could buy height extenders, doors. So I felt that over time I could replace pieces of it rather than buying new bookcases, which would be better in the long term. Sound like a good idea? Theoretically.
That kind of implies that they continue to make Billies ever.
They've been making Billies for 30 years. I thought I was safe. But one day I went to get some replacement parts and discovered, lo and behold, that they were still making Billies, but they were no longer making Beach Billies. So I decided that I would go and switch to a different product line. I went to the Besta line because they were still making Beach Bestas. So now Besta is a deeper cabinet that's often used for media. So I decided that I would go with that and I would put my stuff into my Beach Bestas. So I bought some Beach Bestas, which I put next to the Beach Billies. And so everything was Beach. Now, guess what happened? I went to get some replacement parts for my Beach Bestas, and guess what they did?
They started making Beach Billies again?
Nope.
I don't know.
They stopped making Beach Bestas. They still make Bestas, but they don't make any Beach Bestas. So once again, I was caught by the color situation. So I decided I'm going to give up, and I'm going to switch to their lighter-colored wood grain Birch. So I bought myself a Birch Expedite. And I told you about this at the time. A week after I bought my Birch Expedite, they discontinued Expedites. And I was very worried about this because now I had just invested in another piece of furniture and they just almost instantly discontinued it. This was not boding well for my future IKEA purchases. So I went back and found out that they had replaced the Expedite with the Kallax. So I bought two Birch Kallaxes to put next to my Birch Expedite. Then I bought myself a Birch Lack in order to put that, which would match all of the other Birch. So you know what I'd live in fear of now?
The Birch goes away?
Yep. I'm worried about Birch going bust. I've been afraid to go back to IKEA, which is a shame because it's the only place I know you can get lingonberry soda. But I don't know why, but whenever I tell that story, people give me this oddly amused look. I think people sympathize with, you know, the trials and tribulations of trying to buy furniture only to discover it's been discontinued. Or maybe it's just the weird names that IKEA has for their furniture. Next time, remind me to tell you about my Ekby Jarpin, which is held up by two Ekby Bjarnums. But in the meantime, let's talk about Android platform distribution numbers.
What?
I hope you found that story instructive about why you might enjoy an IKEA in your neighborhood.
Not really. It sounds like a horse.
And anyway. Swedish furniture. You want to take this one, Jer?
Sure. So basically everything below Lollipop and even the first version of Lollipop dropped in share. And the majority of that share went straight to Nougat.
Which is at 2.8.
Yep. Up from 1.2. So jump, which is probably because they're starting to get out of the betas and actually final builds, which is nice.
Just in time for O.
Marshmallow also received a little bump. Still the largest distribution right now at 31.3%. But all the old stuff's going away, which is cool. Fortunately, we can't quite get rid of gingerbread or ice cream sandwich.
It'll get there.
I don't know. No change since last year or since last month.
But I think, you know, Android is moving towards a lot of stability. I'm curious to see what they say at I.O. as to what they're working on for O in terms of, you know, admittedly there are areas that need to be tightened, but I'm curious. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes.
Pretty good now. Curious to see what they're going to come up with. Probably won't change the world. No, a lot of the changes were really big over the years. But I think now it's, you know, it's settling down to they're going to refine what they have. Like, for example, this Chrome story. Are you excited about background tab throttling in Chrome?
I don't know.
I'm sure you can turn it off.
Well, see, here's why. Because I normally run on a desktop, so power is not that big a concern. However, there are some tabs that I run and I kind of keep running all day that need to do stuff, and I don't want their timers slowed down.
I'm sure there's a way to whitelist or turn it off.
Be nice.
That would make sense, but I'm not going to say that everything makes sense.
They say that there are some specific exceptions, like anything playing audio, or if it's got a real-time connection, like WebSockets or WebRTC, then they don't get throttled. So I have a Macintosh, right? I have a MacBook.
Yeah.
And on the MacBook, I don't use Chrome at all. I mean, I have it installed, but I normally use Safari because Google is such a power hog that it significantly reduces my battery life. I mean, I'm talking about dropping it from like 7 hours down to 4. It's harsh. So if they are making strides to make Chrome easier on the battery, then I think it's a good thing. I support it. Just hope, I mean, I hope your assertion that we'll be able to whitelist or turn it off is true.
Well, I think that's what people want, but people also want Chrome extensions on Android, and they haven't delivered that yet. Anyway, moving along, Allo, the app that I've tried but haven't found really much of a motivation to use, will share your private information with people in a chat with you. So if you're in a chat, your Google Assistant will apparently tell you things publicly that can be seen by other people in the chat.
That's kind of weird.
You know how it is. You know, they put in a feature and they say, well, this thing can answer your questions. Well, it can answer your questions. However, it's sharing, if you're in a group chat, it's going to share that information with other people. It's not going to try to anonymize. So your choice is to wait until Google figures out how to appropriately figure out the context of a conversation, or B, don't ask questions while you're in a group chat if you don't want detailed answers.
Wow.
And I did find something about some of the best apps using app shortcuts. Have you tried app shortcuts, Jerry?
Okay, so basically app shortcuts are where you hold down on the app and you get a pop-up menu of things you can do.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've never even really tried it.
Well, I've tried it. For example, the Google Camera app actually has an app shortcut to take a photo.
The only thing I have on my... okay, so Telegram will do it.
The Google Phone app, if you hold down on it, will show you some popular calls.
My most recent one. Chrome does it.
Hangouts will give you the options of chat, video call, and voice call.
Yep. And that's looking like about it.
Well, it's a nice little idea. Oh, I don't have a Pocket Cast icon.
I do.
I have a widget.
Pokemon Go does not have any app shortcuts. But anyway, it's kind of nice.
Well, it gets you quick, you know, it's basically quick access to a specific part of an app, which they've tried in the past, but this is a much better implementation of it. Let's see what else we have here. Google Carrier Services is now updated in the Play Store. It doesn't visibly do anything, but apparently it's supposed to enhance some framework stuff in regards to RCS right now.
I wouldn't think about RCS because Project Fi is not supporting.
Well, we'll talk a little about Project Fi later.
Yep.
Android version of Clue was released into the Play Store.
Clue!
I was just talking about the movie version of Clue recently. Have you ever seen that? Watch it. It's cute. It's a comedy. You have to imagine that a feature-length movie made about a board game is going to be somewhat comedic.
Sure.
Gboard will now translate into another language as you type.
Really?
Yeah.
Does this mean I can type in English and it'll translate it to Spanish?
If configured correctly, I'd assume.
Wow, that's neat. Because I have been using Gboard. I've pretty much almost completely dropped my use of...
Oh, I did that a while ago.
What was it?
SwiftKey.
SwiftKey, yep.
I liked you. It's iterated very nice.
I agree. Wow, that's kind of neat.
Oh, let's see what else we have here. Google has split Hangouts into Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat for their enterprise focus that they're doing. They've claimed they're still going to maintain Hangouts for consumers, but the product will increasingly become business-focused. They expect us to move over to Allo, which I will not touch, or talking to people because I like being tied to something other than my phone number.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Oh, I lost AIM. Did I tell you I lost AIM?
Nope.
AOL Instant Messenger at the end of the month is shutting down public protocol, so I am retiring long after I should have. I am retiring my AOL Instant, which I kept open for the five people who refused to leave the messenger. I have informed those people that either they follow me somewhere else or we will lose contact. One of them told me that they are keeping AIM open only to talk to me. I informed them that I was keeping AIM open only to talk to them. Oh, well. Wish they'd mentioned that they changed their point of view. In other news, Robert Osborne is dead at 84. He was one of the hosts, and in fact, the original host on Turner Classic Movies.
Oh.
Have you ever seen him? He was the guy who would introduce the movie and give you some interesting tidbits.
I think so.
If you're interested, this documentary sounds interesting. Muppet Guys Talking. It's a bunch of people who are puppeteers who worked with Jim Henson talking about him and his genius. Sounds interesting.
Sure. You know, the Muppets are kind of iconic. The people that, yeah, sure, cool, neat.
Except the one we don't talk about. Anyway, the Republicans have introduced a proposal to overturn FCC privacy rule. That one's a bit concerning. So apparently there are people in our government who think that it's a good idea to stop it, regulations preventing ISPs and other companies from selling your data to whoever they want to without telling you. Isn't that nice? Consumer Reports has spearheaded a new privacy and security standard for electronic products. They're trying to convince adoption. Good luck to them.
And these things are kind of unrealistic.
They are, but I thought it was interesting.
Okay, so products should be protected from known software vulnerabilities. Software has bugs. Yeah, I don't even know how you would do that. Passwords should require strong passwords. Who defines what a strong password is? And that just encourages people to write them down or forget them or lose them. Software updates should be provided if they're not auto.
Remember, these are our standards.
Does my toaster need updates?
Depends.
And if they're not delivered automatically, then there should be notifications to let you know when you should manually update, which means, according to the standard, if I buy a toaster,
A smart toaster.
I need to give the manufacturer of the toaster my email address or phone number so that they can contact me and let me know when to bite me. Companies that save customer data should protect it with encryption. That's so vague as to be completely useless.
Well, I think this is the start of a conversation, not the end of it.
Be informed what data is collected and be systems in place for.
Accepting that all these things are general, is there anything there that doesn't make some sense? Again, execution, I think, is what Consumer Reports is trying to get companies to talk about. There should be some minimum standard here. Companies shouldn't abandon items after a few months in terms of security updates. It's one thing to not add new features.
I don't know. None of these things tickle my fancy, but okay,
What about the
cool.
last item? Does that tickle your fancy?
Not so much.
I thought it was an interesting title. Project Fi isn't innovating, so I'm switching to
Oh,
T-Mobile.
we're yes. I've read that.
I thought it was an interesting commentary on the fact that Google has not been talking much about Fi.
They haven't. Project Fi is pretty much exactly the same phone service it was when I originally signed up with the exception that now US Cellular is also a partner
I've never even seen
network.
it. US Cellular in my area. They're not popular here.
They're not popular.
So it didn't really.
So practically, it's the exact same. However, for me, I'm okay with that because
So am I.
it served my needs at the time, and it still serves my needs, and I like it. This particular person, the network switching didn't really do him any good. Where I am, there are some places I go where Sprint has better service than T-Mobile and vice versa. So for me, the network switching is quite useful.
Well, for me, most of the
I mean,
time I'm on T-Mobile, from what I've
the guy
noticed.
has a point. I mean, prices for data on other networks has been dropping, whereas Project Fi has remained static. $10 a gig a month, period.
Well, there are other considerations. As I said, I'm not leaving either because I don't have a compelling reason to. But it would be nice to see that there was some attention in this area because right now, for example, they seem to be decoupling Google Voice from Hangouts. But there's no word on whether or not they're going to decouple Fi from Hangouts and have it used in their messaging app. And if they do force you to do that, then you've just lost the ability to have your text messages on your computer. So there are things I have to leave yet, but I'm concerned that I'm not hearing anything. Also, that Wi-Fi calling thing I mentioned to you also annoys me. I can't tell it to prioritize Wi-Fi over cellular in my own house, where I
No,
know
well,
the
that's
signal.
setting it to
Airplane
airplane
mode.
mode, right?
Yeah, I'd like to say if you're on a strong Wi-Fi network, or if you're on a Wi-Fi network that I told you to connect to, prioritize that. The call will be clearer, it'll connect better. I'd be perfectly happy with that. Anyway, we'll have to monitor that for new developments. Is there anything else on your mind, Jerry, as we wrap up for this week?
Be safe out there. If you're out there and it's snowing, it's ice, be safe. We certainly want you to be back to listen to next week episode
Or host
and
it.
or host it.
I
Yeah.
should be safe too.
Yes, you
Thanks
should
for
be
me.
safe. Definitely want you to be able to host it.
Okay, well, I will look forward to it. I don't think I have anything affecting 3 weeks, not until Passover, which is until the second week in April, so we have time. And hopefully next week I'll have more exciting things to share. I don't have anything planned to be exciting, but you always hope something exciting will happen so you can talk about it, right?
Yep.
Anyway, enjoy the rest of your evening, Jerry, and I have some food cooking in there because
Did your timer not go off?
no,
Is
I
your
can hear
fire
it.
alarm about to go off?
Well, I have some food in there because when I came home, I was extremely tired because it's a hard day or so. And I said I was going to lie down for 5 minutes. It turned out to be more than 5 minutes. You know how you set an alarm and then turn it off and say, I'll just sit here for a minute or two more and then I'll get up?
Okay.
You've never done this? You've never set an alarm? Or you've never, after the alarm went off, you've never said, I think I'll take another minute or two. And then that minute or
No,
two turns in.
because I know that if I do that, then that minute or two into an hour
So do
or
I, but when I'm half asleep, it seems like a good idea. It's only when I'm fully awake does it seem like a bad idea. On that note, shall we adjourn till next week?
I'll see you next week. You have a good night, and woot!
It's Wednesday. You can woot if you want.
Woot!